Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. We are previewing the Indianapolis Colts visit to the Buffalo Bills, and we are joined here by Harrison from the Colts UK. Harrison, thank you for joining myself and Alex on the show.
Pleasure. It's always fun meeting new fans, especially lads who you can have a bit of banter with about before and after the game. You know, I'll sulk if we lose and I'll have a bit of a whinge, and my girlfriend will probably fall out for me because I'll be that sulky. But once it's settled, you know, it's good to have a bit of a laugh about it.
Yeah. Well, Val actually got more banter than me, apparently.
What's going to happen is if like you talked about, if we lose, we're the early game. I want to watch the rest of the games. There's no way I'm watching football if we lose this game. Probably for the rest of my life. I don't know. I mean, this is supposed to be a Cinderella season for us, you know.
Either way, there's going to be millions of either Bills or Colts fans that are going to get pissed drunk for the rest of the Saturday evening.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
You got that right. So, let's dive right in. So, Matt, if you want to take it away and see what we got.
Yeah, so the first thing I was going to say is how did you rate your season? Obviously, you ended up 11-5, obviously losing the AFC South to the Titans. How do you think your season went as a whole?
It was frustrating. You watch a lot of our games. If you know, I know you guys probably don't care about the Colts unless it's this Saturday. So for Colts fans, you know, we lost the first week to the Jags, which was their only win. That's nearly crazy. Bottled it in the last week of the season. And when you look at the games we lost, we beat ourselves. And it's really frustrating because we could have been, I'm not saying we would have got the number one seed, but we could have been up there fighting Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
And ourselves.
And yourselves, yeah, of course. did us a massive favour spanking the Dolphins. So, I can't be too mad.
Sean McDermott has said that you're 11-5, but you're a better than 11-5. So in speaking to a team that you said beats itself, I want to talk about, you know, our guy, Frank Reich, 28-20 in 3 years. Good season, meh season, good season. Obviously, just like any other team, his success hinges on a quarterback, right? How has Indy embraced him and his philosophy?
He's been getting a lot of flack for his play calling recently. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen it on the ESPN charters and all that. But I think it's just because he's a gambler. You know, he's nicknamed the Riverboy Gambler because 4th and 5, he's doing a run play with Phillip Rivers at Jacoby Brissett at Wildcat or something like that. You know, one of them seasons, he says, was horrible as a Colts fan to watch. Mm. But that was without Andrew Luck, 2 weeks before the season started. I think a lot of Indianapolis fans have got to wake up. Andrew Luck is not coming out of retirement. There's whispers every off-season and every other week he's not coming back. But he seems to have found his guy in Phillip Rivers, and maybe it's looking like it's Carson Wentz, which I don't want, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'd stick with Brissett over Wentz, to be honest.
Really?
With that really? One.
This is a completely different show. Because I mean, I would like to try and defend Wentz. I mean, a few seasons ago he was MVP caliber. I would blame their coaching more than anything. So like essentially, like this kind of plays into my question. Like, if you get Wentz here, do you trust Frank Reich to make it work?
I mean, I'd like to say it's not just Frank Reich I trust Chris Ballard and I trust Jim Irsay as a front three, front office okay. to
yeah.
make the right choice. I mean, you look, we traded back with the New York Jets, so they got Sam Darnold at three. And you look what we turned that then picks into, Quentin Nelson, Rockison's not having a great year, but still a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, we picked up Kenny Moore in free agency. So yeah. I trust what these guys can do. If they took Carson Wentz in, would I be sceptical? Yes, but would I be lying if I said I wasn't sceptical when we took Phillip Rivers in?
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
All right.
I mean, obviously, what Reich's done when, say, you've had Andrew Luck saying he's not, he's retiring a few weeks before the season, and what he's actually done subsequently is actually is really good. I mean, obviously, the most credit on there and one of the strengths of your team is obviously your defense, especially your front seven. With is it? I pronounced his name wrong. I do apologize. Is it Matt Eberflus?
Eberflus.
Yeah. But obviously, what he's done with that defense and especially that front seven, that's something that really, in my opinion, is one of your main strengths. Well, listen, from me looking outwards, obviously, I don't know what it's like, if you agree with that opinion or not.
Matt Eberflus is one of the most frustrating coordinators in the game.
And it's me picking him up.
And that, you know, as UK Colts fans and other Colts fans who watch my stuff will know, I'm not his biggest fan by any means. I mean, you look at the Pittsburgh game. We should have never lost that game.
Yeah.
And what annoys me about him, you look at our, like you say, front seven, Leonard, DeForest Buckner, Justin Houston, Teray, you plethora of talent on that front seven. And then you got great run blitzers like Kenny Moore and Kerry Willis and Julian Blackmon. And we only rush four. Ever, and we seem to run into this habit. So I don't know if you watched any of the Colts Jags game. They scored a touchdown with like in the 2 minute drill in the first half. And you think he falls into this habit of falling back into his it's Tampa 2 inverted. You know, if you want to go tell the Buffalo coach in that, because no doubt he will fall back into Tampa 2 inverted all the time. And it's frustrating to watch as Colts fans. Not saying he's a bad coordinator. But there's bad habits that creep into his game, and
yeah. I think
it actually hinders us when you look at the talent the defense got.
Gotcha.
So then with what you say, he only rushes for most of the time on there. Is there a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt on what obviously Josh Allen, this offense, can actually put up against this defense then?
Josh Allen is a fantastic quarterback. He's proved me wrong because a couple of years ago, and even up to this year, really, I was saying, is he any good? And he's absolutely come firing out the gates and seems like he's reignited Stephon Diggs' career, especially. But where you will beat us is zone coverage. Because we tend to not play man coverage. We stick in zone and we're a bend, don't break team. And you give Josh Allen, because although we were rushing four great guys, them four great guys are not going to break through every time.
Right.
Them four great guys are not going to get a sack every time. They might get a QB hit. But when you're rushing a QB like Josh Allen in the form he's in, a QB hit's too late. The ball's already gone. So I think he's got to find a way to script more blitzes into this first quarter. It's a really tough one. It's really in the balance. You know, you can't go running after Josh Allen because he'll just throw it over your head. So you've got to be clever with your blitzing. Maybe bring Kenny Moore in a few disguise blitzes because we can't afford to give you guys time in this game. We have to come out the gates firing heavy and hard, and we have to do it for 60 minutes.
Yeah. So I'm loving your criticism of your own team. It really makes me feel hopeful for the game. But let's talk about your undisputed strength, and that's rookie running back Jonathan Taylor. Going to be an absolute X factor in this game. A big talking point, though, was the loss of offensive tackle Costanzo. Can you guys have a big running game against someone who's not the Jags?
We cannot. I would put us to have a good running game against anyone at the minute. Okay. I meant
that with Costanzo out. Sorry.
Yeah. Obviously, massive miss. You know, you look at that front line before Costanzo's out. You've got Costanzo, Nelson, Kelly, Braden Smith, who's having a breakout year. With Costanzo out, it stops a lot of our power runs because you obviously run to the side of Quentin Nelson. You don't even question that. But yeah. I think what we saw against the Jags and what is promising, you know, is Jonathan Taylor is just a monster. Mm. The guy was trucking through people. And the Jags are a bad team, but they still have superstar defenders on that team. And I don't know what your run D is like. I've not watched much of the Bills this season.
It's starting to improve.
Yeah, it was a bad start, and it's gotten a little bit better. Yeah. The big thing about the Bills' run defense is we get run on early, but our offense scores so many points, other teams try and catch up with us, and it forces you into the pass. Yeah. So I pretty much can see Taylor hurting us in the first quarter, but if we go up by, you know, two scores, you know, are you going to keep running, or are you going to go to Rivers?
Just keep running. I don't like yeah.
I agree with that because yeah. in the Patriots game, we got up on them and they stopped running, but running was working. So yeah. I think if you guys were able to just keep running, do what works, right?
Yeah. You know, it's famous Colt saying, you know, Quentin Nelson wore the hat last year, probably wore it this year, run the damn ball. Mm-hmm. I know in our Colts fan UK group chat, we're like, why are we not running the fucking ball? Just run the ball. It's not that hard. Yeah. When you have the offensive line that the Colts have,
yeah,
you have a rookie who's having a breakout year, what no one expected from him, really. Mm. It's really nice to see. But it's going to force you, your team to stack the box a lot more than you would want to.
Yeah.
The problem is with Frank Reich, he keeps everyone guessing. Not even Colts fans know what he's doing.
So if anyone's going to beat themselves, it's going to be Frank Reich.
Yeah, he can either complicate stuff. Like if you watch the Jags game, it was 3rd and 5, and we did an option read with Jacoby Brissett. Mm. As we know, he has that Jacoby 3rd and short package on the field, the QB sneak, the inside runs, but it's become a bit too obvious now.
Mm.
And now's not the time to be experimenting with play actions with Jacoby Brissett. You know, now's the time to do what we're good at, and that's power runs and quick passes to TY.
Yeah. So obviously looking to the game, obviously you said you haven't watched many Bills games. Do you see any weakness that you think that other than the run game of strong on there, we're improving on the run D. Do you see any other weaknesses that you think you could exploit? I always ask the tough question.
I don't see a lot of weaknesses in this Bills team, and I think you guys admit, because this is the best you lot have been for a while.
Yeah.
So I don't really see any weaknesses. All I see is you're an excellent team and we're a very good team. And, you know, I love the Colts and I just think T.Y. Hilton, you've got to watch out for him. Mm. He's the ghost. He's T.Y. Hilton for a reason, you know. And he could do nothing for 3 quarters. But then what he does do, he draws man double coverage, triple coverage, just out of respect for his name. And then that allows people like Zach Pascal, Jack Doyle, and Michael Pittman, who's having a good year as a rookie, to get more open. And now Rivers has made his connections with people. You know, we struggled at the start because the connections weren't there, but now he's starting to get connections with T.Y. Hilton and Zach Pascal and Mike Pittman. When it's clicking, it's a very good offense.
Yeah. And what about your, I guess people and maybe you Colt fans will actually say this, your X factor, would you class Naeem Hines as your X factor on there? Because we know he can run when he's done in relief for Taylor. And obviously he does well out the backfield catching. So could he play that X factor role in the game? Is that something that you think could be a key?
I think I wouldn't say X factor, because I'd say at the minute Jonathan Taylor is our X factor. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor and Quentin Nelson, you know, it's like a power couple. But Naeem Hines, what he brings to the table, you know, we bring Jonathan Taylor in for a couple of power runs. We bring Naeem Hines in. You think, oh, they're going to screen pass it, or they're going to swing pass it out, and it's going to be a catch and run. But then we go power run again. It brings that little bit of doubt and a little bit of just surprise to the game, like, well, this isn't what they did on tape.
So a question ago, you mentioned, you know, the passing game. If Philip Rivers has to throw 40 times, you know, he's what, 79 years old now? So, I mean,
20 kids as well.
Yeah. Can he do that successfully?
No.
No, really? Okay. Because, I mean, the Philip Rivers I know was, you know, a top QB for a long time, but he's up there with Ben, same draft year. They're old guys.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, like, have it anymore.
He still has it, and we still see flashes of it.
Yeah,
you know, this isn't the Philip Rivers of last year on a down and beat crap Chargers team. This is Philip Rivers behind one of the best O-lines with a couple of good weapons and a decent backfield around him.
So you would have confidence if, say, the Bills actually managed to completely shut down your run game, rack up a 2-score lead, and you're going to have to rely on Rivers to throw to go arm to arm with Josh Allen. You'd feel confident that Rivers could tear a step and actually keep in step.
No, he couldn't go arm to arm with Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen has the most powerful throw, is it, or he throws it the quickest, however you want to put it.
I mean, in terms of arm strength, I mean, Allen, Mahomes, everybody else.
Yeah. But what Philip Rivers and what I've learned as a Colts fan, not only playing against Philip Rivers in so many playoff games and having him on our team, he's so fucking clever when it comes to reading defenses. Mm. He makes stupid throws every now and then, but that's Philip Rivers panicking. When you see him make a stupid throw, you see the panic, and it's like, why have you made that throw? That's a rookie mistake. But then when he gets into his groove and he gets time in the pocket, he's one of the most dangerous, if not dangerous, quarterbacks out there because of his ability to read and adjust on the line.
Yeah. I think, obviously, I guess there's no real worries about his delivery, because obviously he has a very unorthodox throwing motion, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's strange. You know, you only really notice it when he plays for your team. But because I had to find out about this, I asked a friend, and he said it was just that was how he was comfortable throwing the ball. They tried everything to coach out of him, and his hands were too small to basically hold the ball properly. But
he's made it work.
Yeah.
What I do like about Philip Rivers, and what I will say for him, he's got a good mentality, and he's built up a lot of guys around him. Maybe a lot of guys who would have done worse this year, not having the same morale booster. You know, you see him, the trash talking, he loves to have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
He loves to have fun on the field, and it's nice to see that.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I mean, The game Saturday is going to be, in my opinion, probably going to be one of the better games there, and especially for an early start. I think it's going to be one of the games of this super wild wild card weekend, because you've got the offense of the Bills, which is rolling, and we've seen that for the last few weeks. You've got a very good running rushing attack and a solid defense from the Colts. So it's going to be a really good game of chess. And so just want to get your final opinions on that and your and what you predict will happen.
It's one of them games I'm willing to go head first into, no consequences. All the pressure's on you guys, and all the pundits have picked you, all the experts. Yeah. You know, I looked at the betting stats earlier, and Washington have a better chance of beating Tampa Bay than we have a chance of beating you, apparently. Yeah. So
I don't like this feeling. I don't like being the favorite that much.
And Matt will probably know, but it's the FA Cup third round this weekend.
Yeah.
And the FA Cup, it's a soccer cup, but it's famous for upsets, and especially in the third round.
Oh, don't tell me about it. I support West Ham. We've got Stockport. The last time we played Stockport in the FA Cup, we lost 2-1 to them, and they were a non-league side. And they're still a non-league side now.
I want to say, Stockport sounds like a team of just a bunch of guys who are playing like after a few pints.
They are.
Okay.
It's going to be tough. Where you can beat us is your passing attack. Our passing defense isn't great. But where we can beat you is our run defense and our running game.
That's definitely strength versus strength there, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of pundits are looking like this as if it's the NFC. This is the AFC, where up until the last kick of the Titans-Texans game, we still could have been division winners and it could have been a different story. Mm-hmm. And up until, I think it was the Pittsburgh-Browns game, we could have been 2-seed or we could have been out of the playoffs completely.
Yeah.
This isn't some 8-8 trash team making it on a win. You know, this is two very good teams going at it.
I think me and you, Alex, we talked in our preview podcast that yes, the pressure's on us, but to say the Colts are underdogs is kind of almost doing you a disservice, so to speak, because you're 11-5. You were within a kick of being any from the number four seed in there. That people would probably say, you're the underdogs going against big dogs, David versus Goliath game. But as we know, the teams are so evenly matched. That's why I believe it is going to be a really good game.
Yeah, AFC is real tight for sure. I mean, like, there's no Washington football team in here. So give me a score prediction if you dare.
27-24, Colts, Rodrigo Blankenship, game-winning field kick from 49.
Hey, I respect the goggles. All right, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah. Okay. We'll write that down. We'll have that written down. I actually write it down.
What do we need to write anything down for? We're recording this.
Well, just in case you forget to go back on it.
All right.
Thank you, Harrison, for joining us. Obviously, where can people find you to have obviously the friendly banter and obviously rub it in when the Bills eventually?
You mean when the Colts win the Super Bowl?
Here we go.
But, it started.
You can just search UK Colts fans and we come up on YouTube, Twitter, UK Colts fans. I will message you my Twitter handle because it's got a load of numbers and I can't remember them off the top of the head right now.
Okay.
UK Colts fans, we're about, and we love a good laugh. So after you've clipped this, after me saying we're going to win the Super Bowl and we go out and you blow us out by like 50 points, you know,
we're going to have it framed. We're going to have little clip there saying you can come. Remember when what Harrison said. No, it was great for you to come on, chat Colts with us, talk about the game. We very much appreciate you coming on.
It's been a pleasure, guys.
Thanks. Yeah, cheers. Buddy. Good luck.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart? You know anything about work?
No. Huh?
That's who we are. That's on three. One, two, three.